Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I am Zach.
And we are back on a Friday episode to round this week out.
Happy Friday, friend.
We are here. It's time.
It's time.
It's time for minute 129 through 130.
You know, of Dune Part 2, I think this was my favorite 129th minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Of all the 129th minutes that we've experienced of Dune Part 2.
Specifically of Dune Part 2.
Yes, specifically of Dune Part 2.
Okay, cool. Just want to make sure that we're talking about the same movie here.
Yeah. Yeah. This is probably my favorite.
By Denis Villeneuve.
Yes, of course.
Came out in 2024.
Absolutely.
Okay, that one.
This is in my at least top three of 129 minutes.
Okay.
Just saying.
I can get behind that.
Yeah.
I hope.
I think your cat agrees.
Well, not only is this time to talk about this minute.
Yeah.
The Emperor is right on time.
He is right on time. John, that was very good. That's what Gurney says.
No,
that's what Paul says. God.
Yeah, it's what Paul says. And all fucking just yoked out of his mind on religion, Stilgar in the background is just there. And he's, as you foresaw Muad'Dib, looking at his hand.
Well, he's doing a new hand gesture.
Yeah, he's doing a new hand gesture.
He's like, he's got his pinky curled down and he's just rotating his hand as it's
twisting his hand.
Yeah. A great grandmother of a storm. Okay. So we've heard a grandfather worm.
Yep.
Or was it great grandfather worm?
It was grandfather worm.
Grandfather worm, great grandmother of a storm. I'm sensing a theme.
Care to elaborate?
No.
Okay.
No. Anything that's like big and grand and everything, they relate to their elders because they hold reverence for their elders.
Yep.
And anything that is powerful gets named after them.
Okay.
I didn't say it was a deep theme.
No, it's not.
I'm just saying it's a thing that happens.
It has been known to happen culturally all over the world.
That's true.
So it would stand to reason that it would carry on. But we don't stay with, you know, hopped up on religion, Stilgar. I almost said hopped up on religion, Gurney.
Gurney's hopped up on a fight that's about to happen.
Gurney's fucking ready to go, dude. But no, we don't stay with hopped up on religion Stilgar for very long because we get another one of the coolest shots.
Yeah.
Of Shaddam's ship passing over the palace of Arrakeen and the city of Arrakeen. Mm-hmm. And I, before we talk about the ship, want to talk about the city as...
I do too.
As a whole. We saw Arrakeen at the very start of this movie.
Oh my God, we are so much on the same page.
It's almost like we've been doing this together for like a lot of episodes.
I love this. Now, as a peek behind the pod curtain, I don't put screenshots in my notes, but you are someone who does.
Sometimes.
This is the first time that I've put screenshots in my notes.
Oh, okay.
Because I had to go back to the first movie. So we get this shot, this very sweeping, beautiful shot of the Arrakeen Palace.
In the first movie,
in this one. So as the ship is coming up, we get to see the front of the Arrakeen Palace. And I was like, this looks so different. It looks different in the second movie than it did in the first movie. And I just off the cuff attributed it to, Harkonnen additions to the palace.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, I need to actually go see if it is different. And it's very different.
Yes, it is. So we have the standard Arrakis architecture, very, you know, hard angles, tan, holes for ventilation in all of the buildings. But then we have the weird bulbous plastic looking Harkonnen architecture that's just kind of like stamped on top of it all.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of the things we talked about early on was like, this seems like it's very like quickly deployable, mm-hmm. easy, you know, snap it together kind of architecture.
Like inflatable tents.
Kind of, yeah. Almost. But yeah, Arakeen as an entire city has been just kind of like enveloped in this Harkonnenness.
It's been Harkonized.
And we have the Emperor's ship beginning its approach over the city, and it's flying in at a very low altitude over the city.
It is, and we can also see the scale of it.
Yeah, you know? The ship dwarfs the city as a whole, mm-hmm. and you get to see the city's reflection in the chrome of the ship as well as it's passing over.
Again, I'm going to attribute this to future metals that there's no like scorch marks on this chrome. It's still shiny enough.
Maybe it's just real fucking good chroming.
Yeah, it could be. But it's shiny enough to be reflective, and you can see
they just got some hopped up rednecks just fucking
out there buffering it as it goes down. Yeah. Buffing it out, I should say, not buffering.
The ships are just loading.
It's like it's shiny enough to see details of the city and its own shadow in the reflection, which is cool as hell.
And that's a VFX attention to detail that I'm just like, yes, yes. Give me right into my veins. good shit.
That's very good shit.
And it's just, it's one of the coolest shots. The ship passes over the city, and then we enter a new space that we haven't seen before, where we're watching these smaller fighter ships that reminded me a lot of the ship.
Smaller's relative. These are big ships.
Smaller than Shaddam's.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. We're watching these smaller ships pass over, and they almost kind of reminded me of larger scale versions of the ship that Duncan was flying at the very start of part one when we are introduced to him.
Just kind of flying wings.
Yeah. They're passing over the palace, and we see this almost like inverted T-shape window where you have a long center piece that's opened up and then a wide canvas view out of the city and onto this like flat basin where the ship is settling. And what do we have in our balcony but a giant floating black chair with the two
medicine balls,
yeah. We'll call them the rebreathers of Vladimir Harkonnen, and we have Fade storming up very quickly.
The Baron is he's in his nice big old chair.
Yeah,
his big old Eames chair looks like almost.
It's just a giant lazy boy that's got his ass imprint in it from 80 years. Because what was it? He was like 80 something.
Something like that.
At this point, yeah.
And Fade, we get to see a moment of panic in Fade, which is not something that we've ever seen before.
He quickly approaches, and Fade's got his black teeth all dyed up and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to see if Fade is actually talking in this scene because he's like, not sprinting, but he's definitely like hastily walking towards Vladimir. But he's just like, what is he doing here? I have spice under spice production under control.
Yeah.
And Fade is just kind of like looking up at all of this. Rabin's in the background.
Looking concerned as fuck.
Very concerned. Like, he's the most, like, in my notes, I just said that he's looking up with a bunch of there's a lot of trepidation.
Yeah.
As he's looking towards
I said what's apprehension. Going on. So, yeah, we're on the same page. I think it's a thing to note that Fade is in full armor.
Yep.
He is in, still suit. He's been out doing shit.
Remen's in armor, too.
No, he's not. He's just in a robe.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's just in a robe, which to me says this motherfucker's been staying inside, not doing shit.
Vladimir is also in his muumuu.
Yep.
And he's just looking up at the sky, scowling this whole time.
Yep.
And Stellan Skarsgård has such a good scowl like face.
They're good. He does a good job. Again, I said it earlier this week. This week is a moment of good faces.
Mm-hmm. And in his panic, Fade's like, what do we do?
And Vlad, being cool, calm, and collected as he is all the time, he responds with, send messages to the great houses. Tell them that Arrakis is under Sardaukar attack. Tell them their future hangs in the balance. Which is true.
Yep.
But for the wrong reasons that the Baron is alluding to.
Sure. However, as we've talked about in our conversation with Chome Director, go listen to that summer school episode if you haven't. There is a very clearly defined power balance that exists amongst the Landsrad and the Emperor and the Spacing Guild. And any of the great houses would see the Emperor arriving on Arrakis with a full Sardaukar force as a potential hostile act.
Sure. Sure. It's a violation of the checks and balances. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. A big departure from the book here. The Baron does not, you know, ring the bells for all the great houses to come to Arrakis.
Mm-hmm.
That is something that is, I think, interpreted as the guild has quietly arranged.
In the book, you mean?
Yeah, in the books.
Yeah.
Because there's really just like one moment where with Paul and them, and they're looking up in the sky and they say, oh shit, all the houses are here.
Fuck.
Yeah.
But also remember, the guild has only existed in this movie for all of one scene where we had members of the Spacing Guild present for the change of ownership, the change of fiefdom of Arrakis.
Herald of the Change. Yes, criminally underused so far, but it is implied in the books that the guild like arranges all the houses to get over here because,
hey yo, some shit's going down. Well, dude.
Paul basically tells the guild, I guess like the message that he sends to the Emperor was also like sent to the guild, being like, hey, y'all's shit's in jeopardy here. So I need everyone to get
show the fuck up.
Yeah. I need everyone to be around while while my sister, my 4-year-old sister, tells the Emperor off.
On my behalf, thank you.
Yes. So like I said, he's right, but for the wrong reasons. And the last little bit of this minute is we get to see the army formation.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're staging around the Imperial tent.
Yep.
I'll have a lot more about the Imperial tent next week.
Sure, sure. But looks like millions of soldiers that are out.
I don't know if I would say millions. Definitely hundreds of thousands.
A whole fuck ton of them.
A shitload. Yeah.
And they're formed into what looks like a part of a circle.
Yep.
And like John said, we will have a lot more to talk about that next week.
Yep. What a tease for next week's episodes, I should say, of the Dune Minute.
Nope, just one.
God, please. We're so close to being done. We're so close.
We're going to go to one episode a week after this.
Fuck you.
I just want to stretch this out for another 6 months. So, John.
Zach.
As is customary, we've done this almost every week.
Except for the one week that we forgot to.
Well, that's why I said almost. If you had to.
A number of Shai Hulud's?
Well, if someone had a Chris knife to your neck.
Okay.
And said, rate the week. They used the voice on you and they said, rate the week. What would you say?
I'd say this was a really fucking good week. That's what I'd say.
Okay.
I think I'm firmly in 8 territory this week. we had the end of Paul's ascension to basically become the Messiah that he was always meant to be.
Oh, God.
Maybe question mark. That he was thrown into a situation that he was thrusted upon. We had Shaddam watching his world fall and crumble. We had Irulan and Gaius Helen Moheim just straight up laying out the entirety of what the fuck is going on and lifting the proverbial veil.
Right.
And speaking of veils, we don't fucking glow globe with a veil on.
It's true.
And then we had some beautiful shots of the ship.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great week. It's a great week.
It's all the makings. All the makings of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was...
My one gripe, like we talked about, was that there was no moment really between Chani and Jessica where they could have made what will be the ending for this movie a little better, but we'll talk about that more as we get closer to that.
Yeah, and that was this is gonna sound rude and I'm sorry, that was an invented gripe from you, because that does not happen in the books either. It's just a what could have been better.
Yes. Yeah. It was a maybe not a gripe, but more of a criticism in terms of not giving enough time for the relationship between Chani and Jessica to develop.
I mean, but do you think there's any salvaging it? Like, could it have been salvaged at that point, even if they did have that conversation? I agree that that was the place that it should have happened if it was going to happen.
I don't think
happen.
It would have been like, oh my God, you know what? You're right. Holy shit. But I think like it would have been enough of some like nuggets for part three. For Messiah.
No, part three, you had it right.
Would have been some nuggets for Messiah to like kind of leave in for the audience to be like, hey, like there will still be more to this story.
Sure.
But also we have to remember, like, there was no green light for Messiah at this point either. So it's like,
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. I'm going to join you at 7.5.
Okay.
Because this, I mean, for all the things you said.
Running through my head?
Running through your head. Plus a couple more. Stilgar's face. Come on.
Yeah, that's true.
Stilgar's little cute little Stilgar's fucking smile.
Stilgar's everything this week, honestly.
His hand motion that I do not think was written into the script. He just did that.
He's just fucking... Whoa.
Yeah.
Because it's not like he watched Paul do his hand motions when he's like, there's a narrow way.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar, but it's just that seems just like such a in the moment actor choice that I loved. Gurney looking on going, yes, yes.
With his West Texas them. Accent.
Yeah, what does he say? Well, he took the bite. Yeah, that, I mean, Jessica in her casual Friday robes, awesome. Chani being pissed off Chani, but having the most justifiable moments of pissed off Chani that we have seen in the movie so far.
Yep.
Great stuff.
The one condition of her unconditional love has been broken.
Yep. cool ass spaceships.
Dope ass spaceships.
We get some Shaddam in there.
We get a glow globe.
I'm getting to the glow globe. I'm going to save the best for last. Come on, man.
Sorry, I'm just so excited.
We get a Florence Pugh on screen. You know how I love a Florence Pugh on screen.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you mentioned this, but we get a motherfucking glow globe, John.
I may have mentioned it a couple times.
I think I remember you mentioned it. A fucking glow globe. And it's a good one. It's a veiled glow globe and our last glow globe. So we have to end the week on
so
a high
sad.
Note.
Yeah.
So I know we've kind of talked shit about the ending part of this movie. We did allude to that there are going to be some high points to a low section of a movie. This is by far a high point. and maybe not the highest, but
okay,
but a definite high point.
It's an interesting tease for your future ratings there.
Maybe. Scratching chin. Yeah, so I'm gonna join you up in the same ballpark at 7.5.
Okay. It's been two solid weeks back to back.
Mm-hmm. Will the trend continue? Survey says probably not.
Find out next week.
All right, cool. Yep, that's it. No more book notes from me. I think we spare our dear listeners any more of our voices, and we'll get back to talking about Dune next week.
We'll be here, that's for sure. But in the meantime, we'll also be online. You can find the Dune Minute on Blue Sky at DuneMinute.com, or you can email DuneMinute@gmail.com. We'll be back on Monday with more Dune Part 2.
All right, see you then.